Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to my coochie gang all around the world. I want to welcome you guys to the premiere of season two of The Monthly. We are back. We have made it. It has been a journey. Season one was a roller coaster. Season one was amazing. I want to thank everyone that came out to the Coochie Talks Live Women's Symposium for the season finale of episode one back in May. It was very informative, a very much of a good time and a dope vibe. But today, like I said, we are back with season two, and I'm so excited to be here with you guys. And I'm so excited as the Coochie Gang how much we have grown and how much you guys have exposed me to even more as far as reproductive health, maternal health, and everything that falls under that umbrella. So not even gonna hold y'all too long today. We're gonna go ahead and get into it. Today's episode is entitled Meet Me in the C-Section. So I know that a lot of my coochie gang following, our parents have birthed a child. And we all know that a cesarean section or a C-section, which it is called, it consists of conservatory delivery of a baby through a horizontal or vertical incision in the abdomen and the uterus. And so today I wanted to shed more light on the C-section, the cause and effect of a C-section, when it is medically deemed necessary to have a C-section. And I got a couple of stories from the Coochie Gang as well, on different experiences, good and bad, on C-sections they've had to bring their beautiful babies Earthside. So let's go ahead and get into it today. Again, like I said, a cesarean birth is an incision made by your surgeon or doctor that is either going to be horizontally or vertically cut through your abdomen and the uterus, and then the baby is then pulled out of the birther. So there, over the years, has been an uptick in how many of these C-sections are administered, and we'll get into that a little bit later. As far as medically deemed necessary is when they should be used, when the fetal heart rate is abnormal. 120 to 160 is the norm. Anything below or over that, may deem a C-section. Abnormal non-cephalic, which is like the head first position. If that happens, then yeah, you're gonna need a C-section. If your baby's too large, lack of labor progression, if you can't dilate naturally on your own, that's also another reason that they normally would do C-sections. If you have placenta issues, cervix abruption or blockage. Cervix abruption is usually if you have had a previous C-section of some sort. Won't dive into it too hard. I'll let you guys do your research on that. But that is also a reason that you could have a C-section. Of course, any conditions, diabetes, HIV, AIDS, herpes, conditions that would directly affect the birth canal and the vagina, possibly, C-section is usually the next option that comes into play if you can't have the baby naturally. If you have twins or other multiples, it's not even a question. C-section, 90% of the time, is useful. And I can only imagine, because I've not birthed the child, I can only imagine that's for safety of mom and her reproductive organs after the babies are born and delivered. And then, of course, a previous C-section. There is a loophole to that, and I will touch on that in just a little bit as far as previous C-sections or being able to have a baby naturally if you've had a previous C-section to get your baby delivered. So I'm pretty sure that a lot of my birthers have dealt with complications from C-section because this is a surgery, essentially. Yes, we're getting the baby Earthside, we're getting the baby here safely, but this is a surgery to mom, to the birther, to the bringer of life. You are being opened and cut on. Your organs are being pushed around as well. So it is considered surgery. And of course, like with everything else, there are side effects. Excess bleeding and clotting, injury to your bladder or bowel, like delayed function return, as in movement and you being able to move around. That's why they always suggest, hey, no heavy lifting and things of that nature after baby, because, you know, organs are still settling. I had a surgery for fibroids to be removed a few years back, and I was told for the next year I couldn't lift anything over 5 to 10 pounds. So the organs are still settling back in. Totally understandable. A UTI, trouble urinating, that's something that's also pretty common, even with vaginal birth. It's just all about self-care after baby. And if you don't feel like the people that are in place to help you get your baby delivered safely, if you don't feel like they're doing self-care with you, then you need to make that known. You can be as verbal as you want. You are still in postpartum. That is the very beginnings of postpartum, which is an episode I will have later in the year as well. So y'all make sure y'all come back for that one. Abnormal placenta separation due to a previous C-section. Again, I have heard so many stories about a birther's placenta pre-birth, post-birth, so many stories. And so, of course, that is a natural side effect that could come as well with C-sections. Reactions to the meds in the surgery, which one of our stories will talk about, that one of the Coochie Gang submitted to me. It was pretty much her being allergic to the epidural. So yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. And then, of course, infection in the uterus or on the womb. Womb meaning the incision they, of course, had to make when they administer your C-section. So like I said earlier, there is a loophole to you being able to possibly have a vaginal birth after you've had a C-section. So I've gone through the list of all the reasons why, even if you wanted a baby naturally, you've discussed it with maybe your midwife and your doula, or your midwife, doula, and your OBGYN, and any of those complications, because everyone's body is different, comes up and you have to have a C-section. It is honestly at the discretion of your OBGYN or whomever is in charge to deem if you are able to have what is called a VBAC, a vaginal birth after C-section. Not very common. Again, especially now with the uptick of C-sections, maybe in the last 20 to 30 years or so, VBACs aren't common. I know people that have been able to have a baby vaginally after they've had a C-section. They'll have their first baby cesarean. And then, whatever it is the baby gods gave to that person to be able to have a VBAC after a C-section, they're able to do so. But the reason why, because C-sections normally cease all vaginal pregnancies, once you've had that C-section, no mas, you can't do it anymore. But again, there's that loophole with the VBAC. But a lot of the reason why it's not common and or not suggested after a previous C-section is because the vertical scars, if you received a vertical incision, aren't strong enough to hold together during those labor contractions, because your body is expanding, your body's spreading out, your body's stretching out. And a vertical scar, I can only imagine, would probably rip a person open. I'd probably have to get an OBGYN on or pick a brain of an OBGYN to see exactly why those really aren't suggested after a C-section. But those are just some of the things that surround a C-section. Of course, like I always tell you guys, fact check me. Go and do your own research. Educate yourself. But these are some of the things that I see commonly, even just talking to people. It's not even something, you do your Google search, and of course you do your research, but just having regular everyday conversation with people who've experienced this. These are a lot of the things that I've heard a lot, different complications, different things that go on before and after a C-section. As always, y'all know I keep it going with the facts. I'm going to always try to give y'all as many facts as I can and the sources behind those facts. And like always, with every episode, I have a few facts for y'all today. So per the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control, Per post-COVID completed 2021 stats, the Southeastern United States saw the highest rates of C-section delivery. Let me run that back for you. The Southeastern United States saw the highest rates for cesareans. Among some of those states, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, Kentucky, West Virginia, with Louisiana, Florida, and Mississippi coming in at the top three with the highest possessed rates between 35 and 38%. Now, let's talk about the year 2021. That means post-COVID. That means they took these stats within that last maybe 2 to 3 years, maybe 2018 to 2021 or 2019 to 2021. So they got all of the COVID year 2020 when it hit, and there was a huge spike. And then a lot of these places that I just named, they have rural areas as well. So, of course, that could be a reason as to why, but I wouldn't just say, hey, okay, that's the reason why everybody should just have a cesarean section. I have my reservations about that. You are free to DM me or ask me off camera what you think those are, but you know, I'll keep it simple today. Per the World Health Organization, those rates suggested increased numbers of medically unnecessary, potentially harmful procedures, the C-sections. And that's why I said what I just said. In you know, this is what the World Health Organization does in that little bit of time, in that time frame that these stats were pulled from. Who knows what happened after that, leading up until now, 2023. It's just, it's so scary. And then, like, just wait, what, 2-3 weeks ago, the surgeon in Georgia didn't even belong to the hospital where the baby was delivered, but decapitated. And those poor parents didn't find that out until they got to the funeral home that was that infant's cause of death. So, you know, forcefulness, all of that. Again, I will keep it simple, but if you know, you know. The National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology said pregnancy and labor-related mortality rates totaled 80%. During COVID years 2020 through 2021, with Black women and infants making up 41.4% of this 80% total. Black women and their infants, meaning A, mom doesn't come home, B, baby doesn't come home, or C, mom nor baby isn't coming home. And that is a scary statistic. To think you're going and you're about to bring life and you have this mindset only to be met with that type of demise. And let's just be real and transparent. A lot of women, a lot of birthers don't know the dangers of this, don't read the books, don't educate themselves. Sometimes it's out of fear and other things, but these are scary stats. 80% of women, that's scary within itself. 80% of women, but almost shit, that is half of that total being African-American birthers and their infants. And that is really a sad, it's really sad. And that's why we advocate. And that's why they go on Capitol Hill. And that's why we make the documentaries. And these are the reasons why it's so important to get that real information out against the misinformation that is so freely accessible or freely expressed via doctors or what have you. We have to be the ones that advocate for ourselves and do our own research. So I'm going to get into a couple of excerpts of, again, some stories I received from the Coochie Gang. Thank you. Shout out to Brandy, Steffi, and Danny for submitting those C-section stories to me. I truly appreciate y'all, gang. Thank you so much. And Brandy, we're actually going to get started with yours. She was 8 days overdue back in 2013. 13, 8 days, girl, you powerful. 8 days overdue when the excerpt that I'm about to go forward with happened. I'm alone in the hospital due to my son being young and needing to get ready for school the next day. After a few hours, the Pitocin kicks in and the contractions start. The doctors are steadily monitoring the baby and I. A few hours later, the contractions increase and become intensive. My baby's heart rate drops again, and this time it's taking too long to come back up. The doctors, nurses, residents all decide that an emergency C-section is the only option. While I still have my phone and charger in hand, they rush me down the hallways like a scene out of Doogie Howser. I didn't have a chance to call anyone and let them know what was happening, but by that time, it was 4 a.m. on September the 4th. They were doping her up and trying to numb to prep for the C-section, but the epidural initially did not work. She felt the cut, belted out a scream, and was given another epidural and more morphine. 20 minutes later, my baby girl was born. No cord around her neck, nothing. I think she was too bougie to come through the coochie. That's a good one. She couldn't hold or see her baby for that first 18 hours because she was so heavily sedated by the medication, and they spent the next 5 days in the hospital. So these are just some of the stories. She couldn't even get to a family member because the decisions were being made so fast, you know? And she felt her baby coming to the world, essentially. I mean, and a lot of times in C-sections, you are awake, but you're numb. But see, in that case, the epidural just did not take for her. And that, my friends, is a roller coaster. So let's go ahead and get to our next one. So this is pretty much a classic case of I'm not being heard. My ultrasound was completed and returned to my original exam room, and I was waiting for my doctor's return, and I was still in panic. He walked in with an expressionless face and stated, "This confirms what I thought. While I should have been feeling the baby's head, I feel testicles. That means he's breech. We can try to turn him around by external cephalic version by pressing on the abdomen, but it may not be successful. Or we can schedule a C-section." So she consulted her mom. They met with the scheduler and they decided on a date. But her son had other plans. 4 days earlier, the contractions started around midnight. And they became closer and stronger even after them having to stop and get gas. And then when they arrived, the OB had clocked out for the night, and so they had to get them to come back in. And her OBGYN was frustrated at the fact that they had to come back in. And when they saw that she was the patient, they were just like, "Oh, it's you." How shitty is that? Why would you make your patient feel less than? That's terrible to me. So she had a severe case of scoliosis, which made it difficult to assume the proper position to receive an epidural. But she ended up still pressing through. Her body was rocked from side to side, so that means she's feeling what's going on in the C-section. Then she heard her OB say, "Breathe." So when she inhaled deeply, she heard that beautiful cry from her son, and she was stapled by incision. But it turned out, after baby was earthside, she found out she had an intolerance to anesthesia. That's something that was, how is that something that's missed? Her umbilical cord, her son's umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. And the part where she was hearing her OB say breathe was not for her. It was for the son because of that. So after 2 weeks post C-section, she couldn't laugh, sneeze, cough normally, and found that one of the staples was embedded into her skin. And ultimately, she found out that her son had and still has torticollis, which is a contorted neck, because of being breached the entire pregnancy, and that C-section saved both of them. But it should have never come to that. The doctor saying that, "Oh, I just feel testicles and this confirmed my worst thoughts." That is the craziest thing, the craziest information that a mother can receive. I could only imagine. That was submitted by Steffi Ellsworth. Thank you, girl. You are you're a warrior. Because who would have known? You think you're carrying a baby just fine. Your doctor's telling you X, Y, Z. And then you're told this. Last but not least, a really good friend of mine, Dani Marie, she submitted a C-section story. She had a COVID experience, which means everything that she had planned as far as her birth, COVID dead-ended, railroaded all of her plans. So the due date was April 27th, 2020, and she thought she was in labor, but the hospital sent her back home. April 30th, 24 hours of an infection, because she figured out she had an infection coming on in her body. So April 30th means 3 days later, right, from the due date. She faced emergency C-section. It was challenging for her because, again, that wasn't her plan. But the urgency of the doctors and the necessity of the procedure because of this infection made everything, you know, seem and be more real to her. Following the birth, she developed a massive keloid, a reminder of the physical and emotional journey that she'd undergone. Later, when she became pregnant again in 2022, she faced pressure to opt for another C-section due to the previous delivery. Thankfully, the second doctor was able to address the keloid issue, resulting in a smaller scar. Yet it's disheartening to realize how external factors, such as insurance limitations and the constraints of the pandemic, influenced and shaped her birthing experiences. So, proof's in the pudding. That is a mother. First-hand account explaining how she, you know, insurance limitations, and I'm sure race, area, economic status, all of that stuff comes into play. And these are the reasons why we advocate. These are the reasons why I make episodes like this, so that if you've never heard it before, and if the monthly is one of the first sources that you hear from, you feel compelled to go and do more research. And that's what the monthly is all about. As always, it will always be a safe space where you can come and listen and educate. And then you can educate us as well. This is why I get my coochie gang involved, to tell us these stories, because this is all stuff that we all need and deserve to know. And I just appreciate my coochie gang this whole past year, since May 22 to this very moment. I'm so appreciative of what y'all have been to me and how y'all have guided me and opened my eyes to see way more than I could ever realize as far as being a woman and possessing this body. So I take my hat off to my coochie gang. Y'all are so strong and so resilient. And we here for the long haul, baby, because what coochie gang go coochie gang. Season 2 finna be bomb. I just need y'all to know that, okay? Season 2 is gonna be bomb. If you've been on my social media, you saw the guest list rollout that I did over the last couple of weeks. I still have to reveal a couple of the guests that's coming up in this season of the monthly, man. And October, the debut of the monthly After Dark, will be happening. It is an audio show where it is explicit coochie talk. Y'all know we do formal coochie talk Wednesdays and Fem Facts here at the monthly. But this is for the girls. This is for us that like to kick back with a glass of wine, a nice cocktail or something. And let's have some coochie talk, some real coochie talk. If you guys would like to be a guest, y'all know what to do. Y'all can hit me up on any of my social media. I am at the monthly on all platforms. Or, of course, you can email me at themonthly@gmail.com. Also wanted to thank, before I let y'all go today, Sid Harris and the Create Her Foundation. Last weekend, I was able to speak to over 40 girls and their parents for the Create Her Back to School Bash. And we were very successful in showing these girls how to properly apply and dispose of their menstrual products. I want to thank the Sensibles Company for providing disposable scented bags for those period products. Sensibles we were able to get so many of these packages to so many girls and their moms for use. And I thank you guys for that as well. Some upcoming stuff for me. Next month, September 16th, I will be in Houston, Texas as a speaker for the PCOS Con, the Houston leg of that tour. They are touring for the month of September. September is also PCOS month, if you did not know. I am a PCOS warrior of over 15 years, and I am going to speak about my challenges and my experiences. So if you would like to come and see me speak, please DM me for more details on that, or you can go to www.pcosaa.org. I love y'all, Coochie Gang. I can't wait to see y'all next month, because episode 2, we got a black male doula on deck, y'all. Mr. Timothy Gant Jr., the daddy doula, Teddy the doula himself, straight out of Houston, Texas. So y'all stay tuned. I'm going to see y'all next month for episode 2 of the monthly. I love y'all, Coochie Gang. Peace.